Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to you, and we are so thankful that you're our teacher, and Lord, that you take care of us, give us instruction, you protect us, and you guide us in every way. And so, Lord, we honor you. And as we come together and look in your word, I pray you speak to us and open our hearts and how you do lead us. And so we just thank you for that. And I just pray an anointing on this group this morning, anoint me that speak words of the Spirit and open each heart to receive of the Spirit. And so, Lord, we just give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as you know, we're going through 8 points of our legacy. And again, it's the, I have to share something. Linda told me, she says, I don't like that title, our legacy. And I says, why not? She goes, you make it sound like we're done. And I said, well, no, that's not the point. It was not what I was trying to communicate. But it's as we look at the world, how it just attacks us and all the things being thrown at us, it really, you know, we can be really kind of shaken don't know how to answer everything. And the fact of it is, we don't have to answer everything. And the point of these 8 points is we grasp these. And this is who we are, by the way. All these messages are, you know, repeats of previous messages. So it's nothing new. But as we grab these 8 points, it's, you know, it gives us a stability and a confidence. We just stand up to everything Satan throws at us. And I just put, embracing these truths will enable us to dismantle, neuter, and defeat anything Satan throws at us. These messages redirect the conversation to Jesus, who holds the answer to all questions of mankind. And that's the important thing, that everything is turned back to Jesus. And we, if you will, direct the argument, direct the conversation, and therefore, you know, we stand there a good witness to Christ, and we have confidence there. And so this morning, we're on point number four, okay? And point number four, and it says this, that faith is hearing God and then obeying. And it's really important. And a lot of times you hear people you say, well, just have faith. I don't know that's a good encouragement. You know, like faith in what? Faith based on what? Who said what to have faith on? You know, are you just like pulling something out of the air and having faith? Well, this is what I want to talk about this morning. What is faith? What is Christian faith? So we're going to look at Hebrews 11:8. We're going to start here. Hebrews 11:8. And we'll read this. Faith is hearing God and then obeying. Hebrews 11:8 says this. By faith, Abraham, when called, obeyed and went. This message, what we'll be talking about this morning, this message is based on the premise that we have all accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I'm just assuming that. We've accepted Christ. And as believers, we're going to look in the Bible, and we're going to look at what the Bible calls, who the Bible calls, the man of faith. He's called the man of faith in the Old Testament. He's called the man of faith several times in the New Testament. And he's Abraham. So Abraham is a picture of a man of faith, and we're going to look at that. So in this verse, which is a New Testament verse, we see faith attributed to Abraham. And so here is our lesson. Here's our lesson on faith and what God's telling us. And so I want to ask you a question, and I'm going to wait for a response. You don't have to shout it out. You can just give me a head nod, all right? The question is, when did Abraham obey and go? Look at the verse. He heard. He's called. He didn't go anyplace. He was called. Then he went. Now, right there is a huge clue about the Christian faith. You have to hear something before you do something. Oh, just have faith and do it. Did you get a word from the Lord? Then you just do it. There's actually a biblical word for that. That's presumption. Hey, God, watch me. you know, he's all right. You know, and so without hearing God and doing something, it's presumption. So faith is, we see where Abraham identifies the basis of faith, and you see it through his whole life, and you see it throughout through the scripture. Great men of faith, women of faith, heard and then obeyed. So as we look at this, we need to understand that we cannot have legitimate faith unless we hear something from God first. It's a huge lesson. Huge lesson. It's a huge lesson for the church. Have faith. Well, first we need to hear something to have faith. And then we act based on what we have heard. And that's legitimate faith, not presumption. Now, I want, you know, you try to cover all the bases here. And it says, you know, while this is true, we confidently, all right, and walk in confidence in all situations as children of God. Okay, we're just all of us, we have confidence walking as children of God. Now, I gave a message a while back that encouraged us that no matter what situation we got into, to have confidence and don't fear, because we own it. We own it. Don't fear. And I even quoted a verse. I don't have an overhead here, but this verse I gave you is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That's the way we live our life. That's the way we live our Christian life. But now, is that general principle? I will zero in on faith. We move through life, great Christ-like confidence, but we often come in points in our life and we ask God for direction. Amen? God, what do you want me to do? Amen? And then it's not clear. It's not clear. It's like, God, I'm waiting. And then, you know, this helps us to know. Did you know not to decide is a decision? So as I didn't make any decision, I just didn't decide. No, you made a decision. You made a decision doing nothing, all right? So the point of it is, we do ask, you know, as Christians, and I'm talking to believers, we say, okay, God, I want to know what you want us to do. I want you to tell me what to do. And we don't hear anything, or we can't discern something. Well, this is where we need to look at and say, okay, God, what is faith and how do you tell us? So we know you must tell us something. Well, the primary way God tells us anything is by reading the Bible. That's number one primary way, and then obeying what the Bible says. Now, as Christians, you don't have to read the Bible. You can accept Jesus as your Savior. You're going to heaven, you know, but you don't have to read the Bible. You have a car, you can drive it, you don't have to put gas in it. You don't, you know. But there's consequences by not reading the Bible, and there's consequences by not putting gas in your car, all right? So, I don't, you know, say, well, you're putting us under the law. No, I'm not putting you under the law, just, you know, God's trying to help us out, you know, to keep the car moving, you know, keep the car moving. And so we can get run out of gas and get outside the car and just beat on it, scream at God and all that. And it just, nothing happens, you know. And it's like, because you got to put gas on. And then God's got something else he wants to tell you, but he can't get you there because you didn't listen to him in the first place to have gas, you know. So you just stay stuck. But I promise you, except you'll go to heaven. You'll go to heaven. Maybe sooner than you want, but you'll go to heaven. All right. Now, anyway, so the whole picture, but the point of it is, where do we start to have faith? We need to do something to have faith. We need to read the Bible because it's the manual. It tells us. It's actually God's breathed word, and he's speaking to us, and we read things. It's like, oh, put gas in your car. Wow, Linda, we need to put gas in the car. You know, see, like that, you read it, and now you know what to do, the things you didn't know before. So kind of, you know, that simple principle, well, that's what happens when we read the Bible, is God speaks to us. And in a spiritual sense, he tells us how to put gas in the car. He tells us things like that. And every once in a while, he'll tell us something we don't understand. like, okay, I got gas in the car, but I don't know, what's this, all this nonsense about oil? That doesn't make any sense to me. Oil, you know, until I understand it, I'm not doing it. And your car burns up. You know, he said, you should have just done it, and you can figure out later why it works. All right, I told you to do it, and you, that's a faith, because you can step out on faith, you don't understand, but I told you. And so you can do what I say, because I told you. Well, I got the gas, but I didn't get the oil thing. And if you're driving a car, there's all sorts of things. And God says, all right, here, I'm telling you everything you need to do about the Christian life. It is all there. Whether you understand it or not, it is all there. And so to read that, then God tells us something. We hear, then we do it, and that equals faith. He tells me something, I say, I ain't doing that. Okay, that's not faith. But when he tells me something and I do it, that's faith. Okay, and that's what, and if we look here, that's what Abraham did. Abraham, when called, went. He didn't go first. When called, he went. And he is a man of faith, and that's a picture of faith. So that applies to us in our life in every single thing we do. And here's, and again, and so the first step for us to know what to do, to hear, to have faith, is through the Scriptures. And look at Romans 10:17. Now, this is one of these verses you should remember where it is, okay? You can put it on your refrigerator and memorize it or whatever, and it's pretty simple. But you should know where this is. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, just like Abraham did. He heard. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. There's a whole thing. There's a whole thing. You don't have to read the Bible, and you don't have to read the operator's manual in your car. You don't have to. But it's helpful if you do. It's helpful if you do. Now, so we understand that we want to have legitimate faith, then we need to hear something, then we need to read the Bible to hear something. And as God tells us things in the Scripture, we do it, and then he leads us through that and guides us and blesses us and, you know, directs our life based on what he's told us. Number one thing, read the Scripture. Amen? Now, so we have solid, to have solid, dependable faith, we base our decisions on God's breathed word, the Bible. Why do you do this? Because we have solid decisions, we have faith, and God works through that. To have direction, to act in faith, we must hear something first. Hear something first. Now, as we look at this, as we continue to grow, and we want to continue to grow in faith, what must we continue to do? Continue to read the Bible. Continue. Anybody ever read through the Bible and got the whole thing? And it tickles me, and I think almost everybody here, you know, I read the Bible, and then I read this, I couldn't believe it was in there. I didn't see that. Well, that's the reason, because it's the living word, and God continuously reveals things to us as we read the Scripture. So to have faith, we need to read the Scriptures, and God will give us direction, and he will speak to us. Now, so hallelujah, that's one way to have faith. Amen? All right. Now, we need to, and the Bible is very clear, we need to supplement our study and grow in faith by learning from good biblical pastors and teachers. Biblical. And the Bible is real clear that you should be under pastors and teachers, and you need to learn from these pastors and teachers, and we need to gather together. The Bible clearly teaches we should come together in faith and grow in faith. So the Bible tells us we have an individual faith in God, and we're responsible individually before God, but we also need to gather together to be a greater fulfillment to grow in faith. We don't grow well alone. God knows it. He says you need to come together and you will grow in faith together. together. Because, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You come to a pastor teacher, but everybody has different gifts, and all those different gifts interact, and all those different gifts looked at the scriptures, and they see it a little different way out of their gift. And, you know, and so all that is a learning process, and so that's one of the reasons the body of Christ comes together, so they can learn and grow in faith. I mean, I use this again. What if I came and told you, says, you know, I just spent, you know, a year in the Word. I didn't talk to anybody. And man, God, I got it now. Now, how many things are wrong with that? First of all, I spent a year by myself, which personally, I thought that's not bad. But anyway, that's low evangelism on that. And Linda doesn't enjoy it at all. But then the other thing, it's just I studied this. I gave my whole heart to the Scripture. Well, all I could get from the Scripture is what how God gifted me, and based on the way I was made, I would get everything that I was capable of giving, you know, maybe, you know, that's really an overstep, say I could get everything. But that's it'd be a narrow view. When you spread it out to other people, there's more stuff. And how many of you have been around people and they'll bring something up? You go, oh, whoa, that's deep. Or somebody over here brings something to... Well, that's the body of Christ, and you need people to do that. So to grow in faith, you need to be around God's people. You need to be in the church. You need to be under solid biblical teaching. I told you this once a while back. Honestly, it upset me. Nobody knows this. It's been a while back. Somebody that is with us a couple of years, they moved to another state, and they came back, and they told me what church they was going to. I was like, I wanted to tear their letter up. I mean, that's just my sin, okay. The church, they went total liberal, and the denomination just denied the Scriptures. I go, what are you doing? You know, you didn't hear nothing I said. You know, I mean, it was like, I took it personal. I really did took it personal. And I came this close to writing them a letter, and I thought, no. And they hadn't heard me for 3 years. They aren't going to hear me if I write a letter. I mean, it's just, you know, but the thing, you go, there's a lot of godly preachers in there, and you go and you get under one of them and you learn. I mean, they're not God and they don't have the whole truth, but you will learn something. And then within that body, you will learn more and you become of that body. And what happens? You grow in faith. Your decision making and hearing God, and you hear God through the pastor, you hear God through people in the church, and so you're constantly hearing God, being immersed in that. Amen? So, and here we have, look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, as a human word, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. You see the interaction, you know, the congregational interaction with Paul there, and how, you know, and how it moves him to, you know, be excited about see the church move. Now he's writing through a church. But you see the connection and the importance of the church coming together and meeting. So hallelujah, that's another one. We gain faith. We grow in faith. Don't you grow in faith? Sometimes you see God moving in other people's lives. And you think, wow. You know, and so you grow. So it's necessary for a body to come together. Now, there's another thing about growing in faith. So there's two things. First of all, the word. You need to be in a church and under good teaching. And by the way, that's your choice. And that's not hard to figure out. I love the people. Okay, you know, you can go to, you know, community center. You know, basketball. We love the people. But are you being taught? Are you being taught? Do you walk out being taught, this is something I can hold on to? And, I mean, give us grace. You know, sometimes I know some of you walk out here and say, oh, Wallace, he must have slept all week. I ain't getting nothing out of that. And that's fine, okay? But if it's a consistent point that you get nothing, you really need to go because that God doesn't want you there. You need to be someplace where you are taught the word. the Word. Now, the other thing is the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit is a great revealer of Scripture because He wrote it. And He wrote it. He said, oh, you will not come. I'll tell you, I wrote it. And so the Holy Spirit moves within our heart, mind, and spirit, teaching us consistent with God's breached Scripture. I've had people come, this is what the Lord taught me. You know, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. And I go, and I've actually done this. No, the Holy Spirit didn't tell you that. Well, you can't say. I go, yes, I can say. I can't, because it's totally contrary to Scripture. Don't tell me. It's totally contrary to Scripture. Don't care what you feel, what you say. It's contrary to Scripture. I can show you the verse. Don't believe that. And I'm biting my tongue to keep from giving you certain examples. So I'm obeying the Holy Spirit and not going to give you any examples. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you or anyone else, it's going to be consistent with the Scripture. It may be specifically for you, but it's going to be consistent with the Scripture. Now, look at John 14:26. John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting you'd call the Holy Spirit the Advocate? But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus is saying that, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit. So we're talking, hey, we're in the Bible. We're reading stuff we don't understand, but we're reading it anyway, you know. And then we get shown other things. We're amongst believers under being a pastor that's teaching the Word. But on top of that, the Holy Spirit teaches His people. Each one of you individually, He is teaching, see, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is tailoring what He's teaching you to you where you are. I told you, I shared this before a couple of times, where I shared with a lady, and, you know, she's talking about a terrible situation, and I said, well, yeah, it's okay for you to do this based on this Scripture. And then she said, but God told me this Scripture, two verses down. And she goes, what do you think I should do? I said, you should do exactly what God told you to do. You don't do what I tell you to do. You do what God told you to do. Now, I mean, if it's something non-biblical or something, I would say, wait a minute, that's not scriptural. But it wasn't. It was scriptural. It was a just different approach to the same situation. And she said, and her words were, God told me that. I mean, you know, like I'm saying, don't pay attention to that. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, and it was instantaneous. I said, no, you do that. And she goes, but you said, doesn't it make any difference what I said? This is your situation, and God spoke to you scripturally there. This is yours, and this is what you're supposed to do. How can you be sure? Because He spoke it to you. He spoke it to you. It's not to me. I'm not in that situation. You're in the situation. Anyway, it just highlights the purpose of what the Holy Spirit is, the teacher of Scripture. He wrote it, and He'll teach it, and He'll make the application to you. And the Holy Spirit indwells you. And it says right there, He will teach you. And just think about this, too. And so Jesus is leaving them. I mean, He's got these 12 guys, and, you know, they weren't to pick of the litter. I mean, they were not. And so He's leaving them, and they know they're not. And they say, listen, no, this is not a good idea. They tell Him, this is not a good idea. Don't worry about it. Because when I go, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't have a clue what He's talking about. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, equal to Jesus, and speaks with the authority of Jesus. You know, that's kind of connected with the Trinity. You see? And so the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, and He teaches us. He teaches us. So you've got three things going. The Word, And by the way, the Holy Spirit won't teach you anything inconsistent with the Word. That's a sure sign the Holy Spirit didn't teach you that. The Word, the church, God's bride, okay, and then the Holy Spirit within you is working. So there's three things. You know, and they're all going to be in sync. They're all going to be in sync. And based when those things are in sync, you have faith. Why do you have faith? Because all those things are in sync. You see? Oh, now I have confidence. Why? Because I heard all these things are in sync. Yeah. Now, against there's a priority for our understanding. The priority is the Word first, church second, Holy Spirit third. Now, the Holy Spirit's not third. You know, He's primary. But He's not going to tell us anything different than Scripture tells us or a good church tells us. See, and that's the reason I put Him third. He's not third, all right? But as we approach, a lot of times, He'll speak first to the Holy, through the Bible, the church, and then the Holy Spirit. Not always, but they're consistent. Now, so faith starts with direction we receive from God, all God's people. See, if I give you something and say, man, I really like what Wallace said, and I'm going to do this because what Wallace told me, and I'm going to tell you, you're in deep trouble. But if I share something from the Word and the Holy Spirit and God speaks to you and you see the application, God really spoke to me when Wallace shared that Word, and I want to be obedient to what God said because I didn't know that before, then God will bless you. You won't ever do it because I told you. I'm just an avenue for the Word of God. And you don't take whatever I say as thus saith the Lord. You filter it through the Holy Spirit in you and what God's telling you. What's going on? And I get on side things, but this is funny. And it happens. By the way, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. People will come up to me and they'll say, I love when you shared that. It really touched my heart. I love that. And I'll go, I didn't say that. That's how, all the time. I didn't say it. Now, I read that scripture and God spoke to them and they were moved, but I didn't say it, you know, and I don't want to disappoint them. I just, oh, praise Jesus, you're good. Okay. No, I don't do that. But I do let it ride. I don't try to confuse them. Like, I didn't say that, you know. And I told you this story before, and it's fun. But it's talking about the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit within people and how He does. And again, it's just the dynamic we work through His believers because you're highlighting Jesus. See, it's Jesus come out. It should never be me. I did a sermon at Reston. And the biggest compliment I ever got, and the guy says, I really appreciate the message. Could never see you. See? I could never see you. He just heard Jesus. He didn't see me. I just was an avenue. He said, he never saw me. Now, see, that's the point of it, anyone sharing the scripture, they should be never bringing something to themselves. They should all be so be bringing something to Christ. Being to Christ. There was one time I was preparing for a message, and this was back at Reston Bible Church, and I hadn't spoken very much, and I was just scared to death. And I couldn't get anything. I mean, I couldn't get anything. And then finally, it was like, I'm in the office, and it's like 3 in the morning. It's one of these things you stay up all, you know, like your college exam, and you stay up. It's me. But there's like 300 people. That was the exam, and I had nothing to say, you know. And it was like, oh, Lord. And I prayed. I said, dear Lord, if you just give me the words, you don't have to let anybody know I did it. Let everybody think somebody else did it, if you'll just give me the words. Now, God did give me a message because I did give it. I don't remember what it was, but I did give it, all right? And so, you know, it was everybody is nice. The next week, this lady came in, or within a couple of weeks, and she said, you know, it's just like this principle. And she said, it's just like Pastor Mike said, you know, last week. He said this, and it changed my life. And I didn't, he didn't say that. I said that. That was me who said that. He had nothing to do with that. It was me. You know, I didn't say anything to her, but I thought, I remembered my prayer. If you give me the word, just have people, somebody else, think it's somebody else. Well, I didn't expect him to answer it that quick. Of all the things I pray that he answers, was that one. You know, fine. Won't nobody know you gave it. You know, it's like, so, but what I'm saying, but the whole point of this, the whole point of it, is the Holy Spirit teaches us, and the Holy Spirit's involved in the church, and the Holy Spirit speaks through the word, and you individually are responsible before the God of the universe. Amen? All right, so, and that's how we have faith. We have faith because it's something that God told us individually. Now, also, this brings up something else about faith. And if you will, it leads us into another aspect of faith. And hopefully this will be helpful to you, because we know sometimes after inquiring of the Lord, right, we struggle still to understand, God, what do we do? We don't know. What do we do? And we all do it. All believers go through that, you know. And it's like, God, I mean, I'm doing everything you said, but I'm not hearing anything from you. Now, and so, as we ask that, I think we have a verse here, a situation here that is very, very instructive. In my mind, it's very, very instructive. And the lesson is when King David asked Nathan the prophet a specific question. Now, I'm going to tell you the question he asked you. I'll touch on it later. But King David had a question. He calls in Nathan the prophet, and he asked Nathan the prophet what he should do. So now look who you got here. You got King David, you know, and you got Nathan the prophet. And he asked the question. Listen to what Nathan the prophet said to King David. 1 Chronicles 17:2. Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." Now, I believe that Nathan's instruction to David is correct, and I think it's insightful. It's insightful. Because you think about it. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Amen? We're going to talk more about that next week, but we know the Holy Spirit indwells us. God Himself indwells us. And as we learned last week, we talked about, He sanctifies our hearts and our minds. Amen? He indwells us. He sanctifies our hearts and our mind. And so it's a turnaround, and we start moving in a different direction. We're not there, but something really changes in our life, sanctified hearts and minds, and God works to transform us. So what we have here in this situation, you have for David, a man of God, and it even calls David a prophet in different places. David, a man of God, and for us, before I say this, I want to look at it. And for us, we have the ability of Christ within us. Excuse me, I'm going to have to drink of water. Excuse me. Okay, try it again. So David and us, even though we don't have clear direction, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, sanctified mind, sanctified heart, David and us, are told to, based on what we know, whatever we have in mind, do it, for God is with us. Now think about that. Now, this is really helpful because sometimes you're going to find out. In fact, you've already found out. You already know this, that you're stuck and you don't get a direct word from God. You don't, it feels okay, it doesn't feel so good. I got to do something. And so you step out on it. It's biblical. It's biblical. God is like saying, you have the Holy Spirit. I've given you a good mind. I've given you a good heart because they're sanctified. I mean, we're growing in it. And so based on what you know, make a decision. That's what Nathan told David. And also what we see, that is what God is telling us. He is telling us, be confident to move forward in what we know. But God, you're not saying anything. He is saying, I don't need to say anything. You're not robots. You're not robot. I don't need to say anything. What you know, move out based on what you know. And so when you move out on what you know, if it's a wrong direction or it needs some tweaking, God will tell you. But he will not tell you until you take the step in what you know. As long as you stand there, you will get nothing. And all God's people said, because you've all tried it. I'm not moving till God tells me. And then usually Linda moves me. She said, you got to do something. So, okay. I mean, she's like next to the Holy Spirit. I mean, she has a big pull. But you see what I'm saying? Because all of us go through it, but we don't know. We didn't hear a word. We don't get a verse. But we know something. And he says, right. And as a Christian, sanctified heart, sanctified mind, the Holy Spirit in you, you make the decision based on what you know. Now, I'm assuming based on what you know is not contrary to Scripture, you know. See, it's consistent with Scripture, but you're not getting specific word. But this is what Nathan told David. He says, Nathan, I have this thought. Nathan says, whatever you have in your mind, do it, because God's with you. As a believer, do whatever you have in your mind, because God's with you. See? And so we go, humbly, all right, Lord, we take that decision and we move forward. We move forward. And it's at that time when we move forward, God will act to do something. He may act, need to make a left turn here, right turn here. He may just need to tweak it a little bit, but he will act once we move. And when you've made these decisions, you didn't know if God was there or not. God showed you different things and you had to do things. You had to do them. Because you took that step and you had to do things. Now, you didn't give God, we don't give God credit for that. We're like, oh, Lord Jesus, what's going to happen? It's like, no, I'm just tweaking this. But for me to tweak it, you got to move. He can't tweak something and doesn't move. It doesn't move. Amen? Now, so when we move based on what we know. Now again, look at God, how he's looking based on what we know. My saint with the Holy Spirit, with the sanctified heart, sanctified mind that's seeking me, I'm watching him. But he needs to move in what he knows. And I'll move after he moves. See? Now, and we have a couple of situations like now. Now, as you may know, what David asked for, most of you know this, David asked Nathan, said, I'm going to build the temple. Nathan, go at it. You know, God's all behind that. And then what happened is God came to Nathan and said, Nathan, no, David is not going to build the temple. He's going to get the stuff together. He's going to get the plans, but he's not going to build it. Nathan goes, oh, okay. So he went and told David. David goes, oh, okay. See, but that's even proof of that. As soon as David said, I'm going to build the temple, God goes, now I can tell him. I can give him the other information now. But I can't give him the information until he had the thought, I'm going to build this temple. See, then he tweaked what David was to do. And God spoke to David to give him specific things to do after. Is that making sense? Now, I think this is very important because this is the primary way I think he speaks to most of us in our life. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And what it does, it drives us to the Scriptures to have confidence in the Scripture, confidence that God is leading us and keeps our eyes focused on him at all times, at all times. Now, so really this thing when Nathan goes back to David confirms, it really confirms that God will adjust our course when we take that first step. Now, another example is Paul. Here we got a situation where Paul begins his travels. Okay, he's doing what Jesus says. He begins his travel. He's moving out in this area, and he steps out, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him do what he had thought. No, he'd already made the decisions. He's moving out, and the Holy Spirit said, no. Acts 16:7. When they came to the board of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Paul goes, okay, he's got his whole crew, and he moves out, and then the Spirit says, no, it won't allow him to. See, Paul tried to enter, and God did not act until he took the first step. See, God's not going to act often. He will not act until we take the first step on things we already know. With my mind, it's the best I can figure, but it's just me figuring. I don't know where the Lord is. Lord says, I'm there. I'm in your head, your mind, your thinking, your processing. Right there. And you move out, and then he starts tweaking it. But he asks us to move. Now, we have the same thing in 2 Corinthians 2:12. It says this, Paul says this, now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me. After Paul went, he saw that a door was opened. It wasn't open, you know, Barnabas come back, hey, Paul, man, the door's open, you need to come join us, we're having a great time over here. You know, no, he's moving and he's preaching and he goes to Troas. And after Paul went, he saw the door was open. Some of us don't have any doors ever open for us because we never go anyplace. We never respond to what we have, you know. None of us here are complainers, I know. So, but if you ever run across a complainer, complainers never go forward. They never have open doors because they don't move. But they complain. See what I'm saying? So here we have. We may never know if a door is opened or closed until we turn the doorknob. In faith, God wants us to turn the doorknob to see if the door is open or closed. God wants us to act on what we know. Amen? And it fits. This is fit because what Holy Spirit's in us, we have sanctified mind, sanctified heart, and so he's moving, and he didn't create robots. He wants us to move forward in what we know, and it's for lack of better words, it's more like a partnership. It's not God's, and we're not. But he said, I don't want to just lead you by the nose on everything you do. I want you to act out in the gifts I've given you based on what you understand. And I want you to blossom and grow. But you need to take the first step. And I will tweak it and teach you as you do. Amen? I'm not getting any amens on that. Everybody's like, oh, Jesus. So this is what we need to understand about faith, and it's like you're moving in faith. So I didn't get a word, but this is where I'm going. Well, are you moving in faith? What did God tell you? Well, I didn't get a specific word. But based on everything I know and standing on the scripture, I think with my mind and our decision, I'm moving out with God's blessing, knowing that he will adjust it as we move forward. I've given it to him. I don't have a specific word, but I have a piece of mind that I'm going to move forward. And then God will adjust this and move forward. The Apostle Paul, in both of these verses I read you, he was on his way. He was on, in both of them, he was on his way. One, he goes, man, Holy Spirit, he wouldn't let me in here. Oh, God must not care about these people. No, that's not true. God led here, but this door flew wide open. See, he's almost as surprised as anybody else. But he's moving forward constantly to carry out what God says. Now, so we want to look at this. Faith. Okay, faith. Hearing God and do what he says. Because when you say, okay, I ain't heard nothing, I'm not moving. No, that's not what he's talking about. But he's saying, based on scripture, you move forward based on what you know, and God will bless it. You surround yourself. You're in a good church that preaches the word, and the people and the pastor are giving encouragement, and I feel like the Lord has given us direction through that and then through their counsel, and I feel confidence moving that that's consistent to the word. And also, as we study it and go through it individually, that I have the peace of the Holy Spirit. I feel prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is opening my eyes to what the pastor said, to what the Bible says, and I feel strength. So I have... You know, this is what I believe God's telling us, and we move in confidence. We have faith. Amen? Or we have all that, and I'm not getting a real clear word, but based on who I am, how I'm made, and where God's prepared me in the situation, I believe this is what God wants me to do. I'm putting it at his feet, and we're stepping forward. It's faith. And he will direct it, any tweaking that need has to be done. God does not move stationary objects. Doesn't. So hallelujah. So here we are, closing up here. To the world, this whole thing, our legacy, to the world, we, in any argument, in any conflict, we shouldn't be arguing. And I put, you know, in the legacy, we do all this with a smile. You don't have to get upset about it. Just smile. You know, God's working. We're smiling. You know, if you do what we knew, you'd smile too, you know. So we don't need to be as upset as the other people talking to us. So when opposed, we present Jesus in the Bible overall. When opposed, we always present Jesus in the Bible. If you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at Jesus in the Bible. You know, they may think we're silly for believing it, but the purpose is Jesus and the Bible. And to the world, number three on this legacy, Jesus loves us and died for us. And now we have, number four, faith, because he speaks to us, we obey. Why are you doing this? Because God tells us, I'm doing this, and here's all my reasons, and here's the moral reasons why. No, I'm doing this because this is what God told me. This is what his word says. So get mad at me. Get mad at the scriptures. Get mad at Jesus. See, that's the way we should talk. Because you're not going to convince them. You are not going to convince them. And again, if you convince them, then you prepare them, you know, to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, going to hell. That's not what we're here for. See, we just stand on the scriptures. We stand. So in the first, faith is hearing, the last overhead. Number four, faith is hearing God, then obeying. As Paul states, I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can have faith through you. We thank you that you're a mighty God and that, Lord, you do speak to us. You do speak to us. And even in those times you seem quiet and we don't feel like you're giving us direction, you are speaking to us to stand strong on what we know so far and to step out in what we know so far and knowing that you are with us and will continue to direct and tweak whatever we're doing because our eyes are set upon you. Our eyes are set upon you. And the decision is one that you want us to make. It's not one that he wants to make for us. He wants us to make it with him to move forward. And God will move powerful in our walk, tweaking and communicating with us the entire time. And all God's people said, amen.